I told Deb, of course Mary too, but Deb, I know that she's a good nurse, but I didn't know that she's a good singer too. Now we all know it. We all know it. Wonderful. Thank you so very much. Now the gospel reading that is before us this morning is the gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Now, 13th chapter in the gospel of Matthew is very special because there are many parables there. And they all the culmination of all these parables, that this is the first one that is before us this morning, culminates in Jesus teaching two parables what the kingdom of God is all about. So if you don't have anything else to do tonight, open the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and you are going to be blessed by your own reading, hearing what the Lord teaches about through the parables to us. This morning before us is the parable of the sower. And if you grew up on the countryside, you can get the message easier than probably somebody who grew up in the urban setting. I have titled my sermon, Sowing and Reaping. And friends, first comes sowing and then comes reaping. First sowing, then reaping. If you don't remember anything else about this message, I hope you remember this always. If you didn't know it before this morning, first comes sowing, then comes reaping. Let's say it together. Let's do something different. Let's do something very different in the Methodist Church. Let's say it together. First comes sowing, then reaping. Harvest. First sowing, then harvest. The law of sowing and reaping dictates that you harvest whatever you plant. If you didn't know that before, now you know it. You harvest what you plant. If you didn't sow anything, then you are not harvesting anything. Now, sometimes in the church, we are having a hard time to get that. We say that's clear, yet we don't get it. Because our expectations for harvesting are always great, and there's nothing wrong about it, but we forgot to sow, maybe. If you don't sow anything, you don't harvest anything. This is actually literal agricultural rule, should I say. But there, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is using it as a metaphor for your daily actions. Yours and mine. How about your words? How about your thoughts? How about your actions, your work, your ministry? And so forth. Because all these are seeds. You hear me? According to Jesus, all these are seeds that for sure yield a corresponding harvest. There are consequences. There will be consequences in your life. I get back on this one. So you reap what you sow and you harvest what you sow. And there is no way around this. The output matches the input. This is a good lesson to teach to some youngsters and young generation, but also the older ones. We can't plant seeds of anger and deceit and expect to harvest peace and trust and harmony. And that sometimes we don't understand, even we've been in the church for a long time. Can't understand it. We keep on sowing bad things and we are wondering why all these bad things come into me. You reap later than you sow. That's one rule. Just saying something general about this reading. You reap later than you sow. There's delay between your actions and the results. The harvest, so to speak, doesn't show up immediately after your sowing, but it will find you. And the patience is needed to see the harvest grow. In the church, we often are excited about harvesting, like I mentioned. We talk about harvesting and then we are disappointed when we don't believe, see much harvest. Even we have probably missed the whole sowing season. I grew up on the farm, I've told you, founded by my forefathers 1562. My father was the 16th master, my older brother 17, and now his son the 18th. Long history of farming. So when I'm watching on the back field from my neighborhood, from my house, from our house, and I see somebody who didn't sow anything coming back this time of year for dry hay harvest, I think I'm going to tell him something one of these days that, hey, you got to do something during springtime. You got to cultivate and fertilize, and you got to do something about that field. Why in the world you come harvesting that dry hay? Because there's nothing but weeds in that field. But he faithful coming back, harvesting, baling that hay, quotation mark hay, and then probably selling to somebody. I feel sorry for the cows and whoever try to be fed by that hay, because there is not really anything there. Bad example about sowing, but expecting harvest. You reap more than you sow, actually. A single planted seed usually yields a multiplied harvest. How many of you know anything about organization called 4-H? My goodness sake, I still remember my 4-H time when I was a kid growing up on the farm. And then the 4-H agent or principal or whoever we call it, the guy who came over to evaluate your garden. I never learned to like him at all. I'm still working on it. Anytime he didn't find anything good about my sowing, my planting. See, come over here, Timo. Look at this carrot line. It's running like, my goodness sake, now it's okay, but until they start growing, you're going to have a problem with this, your garden. And when did you build? When was the last time you pulled all the weeds out? I said, I was working on it probably a couple of days ago. No. It must be 2 weeks. And then he wrote something in his notes. I try to figure out when he comes so I can be elsewhere. But he has this 7th sense to know when Timo is around, so he hit me every single time. Gosh, he was a wicked, wicked man, I'm telling you. But my sowing is not very good, so no surprise that my harvest wasn't that good either. But let's take it back to our ordinary life as Christian believers. Maybe it was exponential spread of kindness. Maybe a kind word that you spelled out and you were surprisingly receiving wonderful harvest. By saying just the one kind word to somebody, right time, right place. Or other words, totally opposite, the compounding negative effects of a one mistake or one thing that you said or did. Keep on giving that harvest. Now, that's for sure that good or bad sowing will bring you back good or bad harvesting, because your sowing will match with your harvest. Now, second, let's go back to this parable briefly. There's a parable of the sower, and I believe it can be tested. And some of you know it is so very true. And today, this is the 7th Sunday after Pentecost. And when you listen to this reading, especially the gospel reading, you understand it centers on the theme of spiritual sowing and harvesting. It's clear. But it's also talking about cultivation and receiving the good word of God, which is the best possible seed you can find. If you are not quite sure whether God's word bring back to good harvest, go back sowing. Anywhere you go, with your family, among your friendships, people you meet, sow God's word. I can't make promises of any other seeds you are sowing. But if you sow God's word, it will bring good harvest back to you and back to people who receive it. The God word, God's word is the main mean, a main seed for God to operate with you. God is working, operating with us with and by his word. And through the parable of the sower, Jesus clearly challenges us to prepare the soil of our hearts so that God's truth can take roots. This is why we worship him. This is why we read the word of God. This is why we listen to the word of God. Because we are cultivating the soil of our heart so that it can thrive and yield a fruitful harvest one day. One day, maybe even today. Now, in our gospel reading, according to Matthew, Jesus tells the familiar story of a sower casting seeds on different types of ground. There's a footpath, there's a rocky soil, the thorny patches, if you will, and then finally good, rich soil. Jesus is introducing these different soils. And each of these services, we believe, represent a different condition of the human heart. Have you been evaluating where your heart stands? The seed that falls on the path represents the heart that is hardened or even closed off entirely. When I was reading and rereading this gospel reading, I was wondering and trying to see into my own heart. Am I a selective listener and hearer? And then I tried to figure out, have I been ministering to people that I can tell now later, a little bit afterwards, and their hearts were really, really hard and just about closed off? And I can tell, yes. And I could remember some particular examples that I keep on ministering and pushing and pushing. I feel that every single good attempt, every word of God, every action of grace has come back to me. And there's no reception for them. Then I have decided just to pray. Just to pray. Just to pray and trusting in the Lord. Then Jesus talks about the seed that lands on rocky ground, representing the heart that received the word of God with initial excitement. But withers when difficulties or trials arise because its roots are swallowed. I have seen it many times in the life of the church. When people come in and they receive the word of God, they receive Christ into their heart, and they are full of excitement that they don't know where to go. They are so excited. Everything happens so fast. And then all of a sudden, they're all gone. He or she is gone. And then when you happen to meet them a day or two, well, week or two, month or two afterwards, they don't remember anything what happened. They're like, well, that was just, that's not for me, I'm sorry. So you wonder, what happened? Yes, it was real. You experienced something real. You responded to Christ. Your heart was full of Christ. What has happened to you? Well, what happened? There is no root. There is no soil for the word of God to grow and bring fruit and harvest. Then the seed that falls among thorns represents the heart that allows worldly anxieties worldly anxieties, wealth and distractions. And I would add one more item here, a drama. Drama to choke out the faith, leaving it fruitless. Drama. And I'm saying a word or two about trauma because I believe that trauma is a killer. Trauma is a bad thing. And Christians, we ought to watch that. Not to allowing trauma to come in to our hearts, to our lives. No trauma. When trauma goes up in your life, your spiritual life goes down. Your ministry goes down, your trauma is up. You don't have time for ministry because it's all about trauma. And some people are trauma-driven people. They cannot live without trauma. There's got to be something. Give me trauma. Instead of saying, give me Jesus. No trauma. I have seen so many wonderful ministries going downhill because of trauma. We have some witness in our dear denominations, just recent years. When trauma takes over, ministry goes down. And there are some trauma-driven people, they are not really interested in what's going on in the church, but when they hear that trauma is there, they are right in. Even they don't know nothing about the thing what was there in the beginning, but they just love the trauma, and they run the trauma mill, and they are so excited. That's a terrible, terrible situation. No trauma, friends. Trauma is killer. Trauma kills your heart. Trauma kills your friendship. Trauma kills your spiritual life and your heart. Everything goes downhill. We ought to be like a war horses. You hear me? Like war horses who go through the challenges and battle of this world. Hits and hurts, with heads up, trusting in the Lord, who is faithful, like the ladies sang this morning, faithful and stay with us. No trauma. Trauma is a killer. It doesn't help anybody. It is bad for everybody. Then finally, Jesus talks about the seed that falls on rich soil, represents the heart that listens, understands and embrace God's word, allowing it to produce an abundant harvest. This is you and I hope and pray. Heart that accepts God's word, receives God's word, embraces, so that we can produce an abundant harvest. When we think about these parables and different parts of these parables, they serve as a mirror for our own spiritual lives. It happened to me as I was preparing for this message. It forces me and you to ask ourselves, what kind of soil am I today? In the light of this, what Jesus teaches us. Then finally, the last one, and not the least one. Then there is a big question for us to think about. How can we clear the rocks and thorns from our lives? How to clear them? So we can produce harvest and we can cultivate the soil of our hearts. Because we all face troubles and temptations of the rocky crown and thorns. It is incredibly easy to allow the busyness of life, the trauma, the pursuit of success or constant influx of anxiety to take over the mental and spiritual energy that we ought to be dedicating to our faith. Now it goes elsewhere. We are empty, all the time empty. Then we are wondering where this emptiness comes from. It comes from there in this world that never been able to give us nothing good. But God's grace offers us an opportunity to cultivate our souls by the Word of God, by the Word of God, by the Word of Christ. Endless resource for us. wonderful blessing always there. When you open your word, it just comes back to you right away. Clearing the rocks and thorns from our lives is not burden we must bear alone, because we cannot. This is where church and your friendships comes into picture. Not a rumor team, but team of supporters and prayer warriors, encouragers who stay by you. Even everybody else is gone, they stay by with you because they love the Lord and they love you. The gardener tends to a plot of land. The Holy Spirit works within us to soften our hardened hearts and to clear away debris and daily life, all that stuff that's stuck into us. When Holy Spirit comes, He brings power and grace because He brings Christ to you. When we face struggles and we find ourselves distracted, we can turn to prayer and communion with the Holy Spirit to help us. Before you spell His name, He's already there. He said, I'm your counselor. I'm your support. I pull you up. I will never leave you. I am here with you to bring you Jesus. To bring you Jesus. Not more trauma, but bring Jesus. And He will be right there before actually your prayers. Something to take home. Sowing and reaping is the order of grace for us. First sowing, then harvesting. There's no other way. First sowing. You sow and cultivate your heart soil to grow in grace and in faith. Otherwise, there's nothing to harvest. Sometimes our walk gets so heavy and loaded by all that stuff that we carry with us. We take it from there and there. And then when you come to your realization, why in the world have I been carrying all this stuff with me? And by the grace of God, you are able to leave it behind you. And you feel that your walk is so much lighter and graceful and powerful. You just go with Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the God and the Father, and Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our time together by the ministry of giving. So if the ushers can come forward at this time.